Off the Ball
Rugby.
Now, it's very easy to look into after defeat and say, oh, that doesn't look well. Oh, that's not right. There's something wrong the camp there when your captain goes and spoils and gets himself a ridiculous yellow card. Or when your captain turns around and shouts at the head halves, take the three. Do what I tell you, take the three.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Saints are marching on with three wins on the trot after a shaky start in the SSE Electricity Premier Division.
The ball comes in and they score from the free kick. Would you believe it?
Heading down the rocky road to Dublin to face St Pat's this Friday night are Doherty United.
Conor Keighley rises once again.
Doherty's men are in the doghouse after two defeats in their last two matches. Will the informed James Brown help the Saints get payback after two home draws against the Louthmen last year?
Brilliant performance for St Pat's tonight.
Vinnie Perth will be with Phil Egan at Richmond Park. It's the League of Ireland. It's live and exclusive on Off the Ball from 7 on Friday night.
That was a superb bit of play.
League of Ireland on Off the Ball.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
On the line to talk to us about the passing of the late great Ronnie Delaney. Carl, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Ger. I'm well.
Give us some historical context. Obviously, our first Olympic gold medalist on the track, and at a time when the 1500 metres was like literally the most important athletics event in the world, the quest to break the 4 minute mile had just been done by Roger Bannister a couple of years previously. So, what we're talking about here is a historic level of achievement.
Yeah, it truly is. I think you do have to contextualize it with that. You know, if you go back to the 50s, which obviously we weren't around for, but like it was the Everest on the track. The mile was the glamour event. And, you know, that's still the case today. If athletics is obviously probably the showpiece sport of the Olympic Games. But within athletics, like all the sprinters want to win the 100 meters and all the distance runners want to be the 1500 meter champion. And to think Ireland had that, a student at the time, Ronnie Delaney at Villanova University, 21 years of age, he was a rank out. Outsider. I think he told me before some of his pals had money on him at 100-1 to win that race, but he saw himself before the race as an even money favourite. And, you know, in the Olympic Village, he told me he met three of the British team the day before the final and they were saying, who do you think is going to win the race? And Ronnie, never shy in believing in his own ability, said, Ronnie is going to win gold. And they were very much taken aback, but, you know, it's not bragging if you can back it up. And yeah, it was just a remarkable achievement. I mean, I think he said Ronnie ran his last 300 meters in 38 seconds. Like, just to transpose that to the modern day, the world title in the 1500 meters in Tokyo last year, they ran their last 300 meters in 37 seconds. And you think of all the advances in tracks and spikes and training technologies in the years since. So if, you know, it wasn't the case that there was no one competing back in the day and it was easier to win a gold. If you could, you know, transpose Ronnie Delaney into the modern era with the advances that are available today, he would very much be a gold medal contender, you know, with the whole world running the 1500 and would be a rock star of, you know, athletics and international sport, really, because he just achieved so much beyond that as well. Three indoor mile world records. I mean, he went 4 years unbeaten in the US indoor circuit. He won four Wanamaker miles, which is kind of most prestigious indoor mile race in the world. He won a European medal. He won a World University Games title. So, you know, it was just a remarkable, remarkable career. And that achievement, of course, will just echo in eternity for Irish sport.
At a time, too, when boxing, racing and athletics were the holy trinity of sports in the United States. So it's not like he was Ireland famous. He was globally famous.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know Conor McGregor a few years ago posted that he was the first Irishman on the front cover of Sports Illustrated. Well, Ronnie Delaney beat him to it by about 60 years or so. But that is a measure of the man. You know, the US indoor circuit was the kind of global centerpiece, I suppose, of the sport through those years as well. And he was an absolute rock star on that circuit. But yeah, and it was a very different era, of course. It was amateur. Now, there might have been a bit of money changing hands under the table and stuff. But as Ronnie said, you know, throughout his university years, he was working odd jobs, cleaning cars or flipping burgers at Villanova just to get by, basically. So it was all done in a very amateur way, but obviously the setup over at Villanova was very professional under the guidance of coach Jumbo Elliott. And yeah, to just summit Mount Olympus at the age of 21 in the glamour event of the sport, you know, it might never happen again in Irish sports, but it's such a wonderful thing that it did.
Was he
Carl, was he the trailblazer for Villanova? Obviously, Eamon Coughlin goes afterwards, Sonny O'Sullivan afterwards. Like, these are greatest ever athletes. Like, this is back in the 50s, you know. That's a huge move to come from Ireland to go there. What was the relationship, and was his success there kind of the path then any great Irish athletes were going to follow that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is like every other sport. It's a copycat sport. And, you know, you look to the training methodologies, the universities, the coaching methodologies, these things, they all spawn from who's winning gold, you know, and people see who wins gold and they think, well, that's the place I should go. And yeah, he wasn't the first Irishman. There was another Irishman a few years before him, Ronnie Delaney. But, you know, I suppose he popularized Villanova as the place to go, you know, with all his success. He won 4 NCAA titles, a lot of achievements at the Penn Relays. I think he helped Villanova to 10 titles there. He was inducted into the NCAA Hall of Fame amongst, you know, the likes of Jesse Owens in recent years. Just a signal of how internationally high he was held. And yeah, you look at it and you think, you know, it was such a big imprint on Irish society and Irish athletics. But we'll never probably know the true extent of that, because realistically, if Ronnie Delaney doesn't become Olympic champion in 1956, there's a good chance that Eamon Coughlin in the 70s or Sonny O'Sullivan in the late 80s, early 90s doesn't go to Villanova. And who knows what trajectory those two world champions, their career might have followed otherwise. So it's a legacy, I think, that, you know, we're not fully understanding yet, but it is vast, vast imprint on Irish athletics and indeed Irish Olympic history.
Yeah, I've never been. Have you been to Villanova? I've no idea what it's like.
I haven't actually, no. But of course, there is another Irishman, a three-time world indoor champion, Marcus O'Sullivan, took the baton as well. And in recent decades, he's been hugely successful there. And that Irish pipeline has continued, less so these days. But the likes of Charlie O'Donovan as well was there in recent years as well for the Cork athlete. But yeah, it's still going strong. It's still going well. And names like Delaney, Coughlin, and O'Sullivan are the names that made it what it was, and made so many other Irish athletes, you know, change their careers and change their futures by following in their footsteps.
That level of confidence that you talked about him having there, it's not typically Irish. You know, it generally say nothing tends to be how many of our athletes would approach things. It feels like maybe just recently our athletes are channeling their inner Ronnie Delaney a bit more, and they're a bit more self-confident, and they're a bit more, no, actually, we're not here to take part. We're actually here to try and win something.
Yeah, you know, I've been working, I suppose, the media side of it for maybe 12, 13 years in Irish athletics. And like, I've seen a transition in that time, a transformation really in the level of confidence. And you see it across various sports, you know, from Daniel Whiffen to Reese McLenachan, but also, you know, in the likes of so many Irish athletes that I'm seeing on the track, there used to be a kind of we'll see how it goes mentality. But now there really is a why not me approach in the mentality. And it's great to see. But yeah, Ronnie embodied that at a time long before it was popular or even acceptable, really, in Irish society. Like, a lot of people would have said, oh, he loves himself, you know, the way he'd go on about his ability. But as they say, it ain't bragging if you can back it up. And, you know, like, I know people often speak glowingly anytime someone passes away. But, you know, over the last decade, I suppose, I grew up reading about Ronnie Delaney, and I got to meet him and have lunch with him a couple of times over the World Athletics Awards in 2019. And I can safely say the thing about never meeting your heroes is not true and disproved by Ronnie Delaney, because he was an absolute gentleman and a class act off the track just as much as he was on it.
Yeah, very curious about what was going on. I only met him that time that he came in to do the interview, and we're going to play it out after 10 o'clock on the Goal Out app, if anybody wants to listen to that. And it's available for podcast as well. But he was like genuinely curious about what else was happening, and tell me about this. And, you know, what was your experience of that lunch, and how did you find him?
I think the big thing for me I noticed was, you know, I suppose as a journalist and a long time, you know, a former middle distance runner myself, you know, you're looking at this guy who is just an icon, and you think the natural way for that conversation to go would be for me to be asking him questions about his races and his training. But the thing I remember of hanging out with him a bit in Monaco, it was such a privilege to get to do that, but was that he was the one asking me questions. Just like you said, he was actually asking about my life, asking about my career. And I remember him trying to give me some financial advice and things like that as well. And I remember just coming away from that going, wow, I think you just get so used to interviewing athletes at a high level where, for fully understandable reasons, they don't really care about you. They don't pretend to care about you, and nor should they. But I think it strikes a chord all the more when you come across across someone like Ronnie Delaney, who actually genuinely, whether it's fake or not, seems fully interested and fully invested. And when I talked to him years after on the phone, you know, it was the same after we'd done an interview. I think it was when he turned 90 back in, it was the 60th anniversary of his win, about he was, after we'd done the interview, he started asking more questions, just like, how are you getting on? Where are you these days? This sort of stuff. So I think that was a measure of the man. And I saw him at various events over the years presenting medals. And, you know, whether it was an 80-year-old man telling the story of where they were on that day, or an 8-year-old girl who was meeting him for the first time, like, he gave everyone such brilliant time, and he always had a smile on his face. And I think that was just a measure of the man. It's not an exaggeration to say he was just such a class act off the track, equally as much as he was on it.
Class, isn't it?
Good stuff, Carl. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks,
cheers.
Carl.
Cheers, out.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50-milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150-milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.